Okay, let's begin our second shiur, and this is the topic of Shava Kesef. So as we know, the Mishnah told us that it's machlokes, how much money, Beishama Beis Hillel, but the Mishnah is beferish, that a woman, one of the three ways of Kedushin is Kesef, and the Mishnah went on to tell us that it works whether it's Kesef itself, the dinar or the prutar, or Shava Kesef, some goods of equivalent value. So you can give the actual money, or you can give a ring. A ring is Shava Kesef. So it's good to know that Shava Kesef works, since all of us got married with Shava Kesef. And that's Beferish in the Mishnah. Now we know that the Gemara, in its discussion of Beis of Gimel, is it's the funny Gemara that begins the Masechta, and aside from getting all the language of the Mishnah down, which is the funny part of the Gemara, but the Gemara also searches, which is not surprising, for a source that Kesef works for Kiddushin, and the Gemara gives its famous options, most notably Kicha Kicha Mista Ephraim. However, completely absent from any discussion in the Gemara is how do we know that Shava Kesef works? And if we are very sensitive readers of the Gemara, maybe we notice this on our own. But otherwise, the most famous one to notice this problem was Tosfos. And this is the big Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We're three, four lines down in the middle of the Tosfos. Tosfos gets right to the point. V'im tomar, u'menalon d'sheva kesef kekesef. Right? We know what the source for kesef is now, but how did we know, how did the Mishnah know, who told the Mishnah, that sheva kesef works? And Tosfos bavorns, he anticipates that maybe you'll think it's obvious. So Tosfos is armed with numerous rayas from other Gemaras and other areas of halacha, where you see that it wasn't obvious, because other Gemaras in other areas of Halacha, the Gemara went out of its way to ask the question, Menayin Shava Kesef Kekesef. So the Gemara, of course, Tosfos gives the famous examples of Eved Ivri, right? If you're redeeming the Eved Ivri, you can buy him his freedom with Kesef, or Shava Kesef. Pidyon HaBen, which is going to be discussed also in our Masechta Dav Ches, so you can actually, we all know the money, because every Pidyon HaBen that we've ever been to is with the silver coins. That's like Minog Yisrael. But Mikra did. You don't need the silver coins. You can use some kind of a handkerchief or silk robe or something that the Gemara and Daf Ches describes with Rav Kahana. Or another example that we're going to get to back to as well, the Gemara talks about Nezikin. Right? If you damage somebody and you have to repay them, so there's a mitzvah to be Meshiv the Nezek, and you are allowed to pay either in Kesef or in Shava Kesef, the goods equivalent of whatever damage you did. In all of these cases, the Gemara itself asked the question, Minayin Shava Kesef Kekesef. So, Frag Tosfos, Tosfos doesn't understand why, of all of the exceptions, why is Kiddushin, there's a complete absence of that discussion. So, I just want to point out something, you forgive me, but I just think it's helpful. You know, you're all the age, you're all experienced learners, but still, it's important to help. Even hopefully, we're always growing and always trying to develop our skills. When we have a question like this, whether it be a question the Gemara was asking, or in this case, a Rishon is asking, so we really theoretically could have two possible answers. Without, before we fill in the blanks, just methodologically, one possibility is to deny the assumption of the question. You're asking why there's no source. Maybe there's a source, you just didn't yet realize it. That's a possible approach. And the second possible approach would be to say, yeah, in Chanami, there is no source, and now let me tell you why, let me defend that, let me tell you why it's different. And it's exactly, and that is a, you know, kind of one-two punch that you could use to answer any similar question. And it's not a coincidence that that's in fact the Machlokas Rishonim exactly breaks down along those two options. So Tosfos themselves, this is why the Tosfos is a long Tosfos. You know, I think probably for most of us, I know my Rebbe when I was younger told me the longer the Tosfos, usually the easier it is to read. Doesn't mean it's shorter, but it is often easier. So it's a long Tosfos, but it's not so difficult, especially if you have a chance to look up some of the Gemaras. But Tosfos basically says, takes the first option. It doesn't appear that there's a source, but there really is a source. Now Tosfos never tells us why the Gemara itself doesn't give the source. If Tosfos' limit is so good, why is it in the Gemara? As far as I recall, Tosfos himself doesn't answer that question. That's, you know, in the footnotes. That's left unanswered. But fundamentally, what's the answer to the question? How do we know Shava Kesef works for Kiddushin? After all, don't we need a source by these other things? So says Tosfos, you're right. You do need a source. But there is one. It's learned from Eved Ivri with a Hekish, and maybe then the Gemara asks, well, if that's the case, and what about Nezikin? And maybe it's Shnei Ksuvim. we don't have to review the exact mechanics of the drasha. What's important for us now is that Tosfos assumes two things. Number one is that whenever you have shav kesef in any area of halacha, you always need a makor. It's not obvious. You need a source. And number two, in light of that, kiddushin has a source. What's the source? We learn it from Evid Ivri or some variation. There's some other halachos that are already on the books, and they serve as a halachic basis to be extended to kiddushin. So the assumption of the question that you need a source says, tells us, yeah, l'maskana, there is a source. The source is Evid Ivri or some kind of a limud. Now, for the most part, Tosfos is often assumed to be kind of a das yachid. It's a big Tosfos, and Tosfos was his big rishon. But for the most part, Tosfos seems to stand alone. Before we see the other rishonim, it is worth noting, some people seem to miss this, but it seems that Rashi really agrees with Tosfos. On Daf Ches, and Afches, on the sugya of the with the pigeon haben and figuring out the kesef there and the shavu kesef, etc. But the Gemara there on top of going from Zayin Abed to Ches talks about in pigeon haben and other places shavu kesef ki kesef, same exact phraseology we've been using. And there, because the Gemara is learning with pigeon haben back and forth to kiddushin, the top Rashi says gabe kiddushin kesef ksiv. So we know that there's a source for kesef. That's what the Gemara already established on Daf Beis and Daf Gimel. The Israbe Kikesef, Meshava Kesef, Israbe Kikesef. And yet there's a drusha to teach us that you can also use Shava Kesef. Can Armina Lekaman, Yoshiv Lerabo Shava Kesef Kikesef. What's that referring to? That's Evid Ivri. Now, when the Gemara, this is a tricky Rashi, right? If you didn't look up the Gemara, Rashi makes it seem like there's some Gemara out there that compares and learns Kiddushin from Evid Ivri. That's actually not true. When Rashi says Kid Armina Lekaman, it doesn't say that Kiddushin is learned from Evid Ivri. Can I read it? Come on, that Evid Ivri is a drusha to teach Shava Kesef. But like Tosfos, seems clear to me, Rashi's assuming, like a binyanav or some form of drusha, that we learn Kiddushin from Evid Ivri. It's part of the brilliance of Rashi that it's in three lines. You don't get all the scope of Tosfos, but the basic point seems to come out of Rashi as well. So obviously, it's always good to have a friend, and Rashi's a good friend to have. But it still seems to be Tosfos and Rashi, and I alluded to before, it really seems like they are going up against the world, against everybody. I put in brackets when I was giving the Ramakomos, because just I didn't want it to be redundant if you didn't have the time. So for those of you who had less time, you didn't have to see every Rishon. But I mentioned to you the Rashba, and the Ritva, and the Ran, and the Meiri, all seem to disagree with Tosfos. But the one who I really wanted you to see, if you were able to, was the Ramban. The Ramban is the Mara Dahai Shmaitza. The Ramban is the main one who's took on the Tosfos. And the other Rishonim, especially the Rashban, the Ritva, who are Talmidim, from the base Medrash of the Ramban, so they certainly follow the Ramban, but as I said, it's the Ram is also from that base Medrash, I guess, but also the Meiri even, seem to follow that flow. But the main one who really discussed this was the Ramban. And the Ramban has a whole discussion. Kedarko, it's hard to read. Ramban is not always easy to read, but he's usually worth the effort. So the Ramban asks the question. He does mention the other answer, which as we know is Tosfos. The Ramban has a preference for a different answer. And I'll just read a little bit of the Lashon of the Ramban after first quoting Tosfos, who he doesn't like. Then the Ramban says, Inami ikalameimar shebachol mokom shenemar kesef bekinyin shava kesef bechlal. You don't need, there's no source. You're right, there's no source. There doesn't need to be. Whenever the Torah tells you that there's a halacha that requires kesef, it's automatic, we know, shava kesef ki kesef. So, what's the obvious question? If that's, so that helps for kiddushin. What about all those other gemaras that have sources in these other areas of halacha? So, it's such a good question. The Ramban asks it on himself. So why is it, in light of that assumption, says the Ramban, that the other gemaras have sources? So the Ramban goes, one by one, and he explains. You can. Says the Ramban, what's going on with buying the Eved's freedom? He or anyone on his behalf can buy his freedom, his early release, against the will of the Adam. If he can pay off the debt, he can go free. So you might have thought, since you're forcing that on the Adam, you might have thought that the Adon gets at least a little leverage. You're forcing me to let him go free. At least pay me in premium. Give me cash. I don't have to accept your old couch and then worry about hopping it on the Shemesh list to get, you know, that equivalent. Kamashimala, no. So that's a top of good svara, which would seem to negate the natural assumption that Kishav Kesef should work. Kamash Malan, says the Ramban, that's why I needed the Drosha Yoshiv, the Rabbo, so you could even do Shav Kesef against the will of the Agon. And what about Nezikin? He also discusses. Nezikin also, he says, you might have thought we have a concept of Nezikin that somebody's supposed to pay with Metav. Right? There's different levels of things to pay back with. So you might have thought they have to pay with the best, and maybe the best, the person could say, I only want cash. Again, no, there's a special pasuk that teaches us that by Nezikin, you can do that. And Kehena v'Kehena, you'll, you know, whether the Ramban or any of his chief lieutenants, you know, he'll send them out. Everyone can be explained away more, wait one second, can explain away more or less in this way. In other words, whenever there is a source, says Ramban, that's not a proof, that's not a question against me. Each one of those have a reason why you might have thought otherwise. So we needed the drasha to get us back to the equilibrium, which is the standard assumption, which is that there, it's, of course it works. As opposed to Kiddushin, and he adds a key line, as opposed to Kiddushin, where he says, or for that matter, regular business, if I'm buying something, buying an apartment with Kesef, Kinyan Karka, and I want to pay, do my Kinyan Kesef for my apartment with Shava Kesef, it also works, and there's no source for that. And that's a Kinyan, and here we have a Kinyan Kiddushin Kesef, which seems to be learned from that. Avlenyan Makne. Now again, I can't force you to sell my apartment, and I can't force you to accept my couch as the down payment. That's a separate issue. But if you're accepting it, Kevin the Shneihem Rotsim, they both agree, I want to pay you with the Shavu Kesef, and you're willing to accept my uncut, unlabeled diamonds as my, you know, Shavu Kesef. So then, says the Rambam, you don't need a source to teach me that it works. It's obvious a Shavu Kesef should work, and has a very telling line, Shehrei Shneihem Shavu. They're really equal. So that's why it's obvious and you don't need a Makor. In a few places you need a Makor, they have other mitigating factors. Yeah?
By the Eved buying his freedom, even if we didn't have that drasha, if the Baal would agree to take the Shavu Kesef, it would work, right? It's just the fact that...
It's the Baal Karfa case. It's exactly the point. The Chiddush says the Ramban of the drasha is not needed in the case where he accepts. Right. It's the fact that you can even force him to accept.
So in any case where both parties agree to it...
That seems to be, in the Ramban, and mainly in his Talmidim as well, for sure, it seems that seems to be his distinguishing factor. But when do you need a drasha for Shavu Kesef? Those are all cases where you're doing something more or less against the will of the other person.
It seems like most are assuming that Metav means Kesef. Why is that?
Why is Kesef better?
Yeah. I understand that, you know, one field has high yield versus low.
Right,
yield.
Right. It's a good point. I think it's just misvara. I mean, if I offered you Kesef or Shavu Kesef, you'd probably want Shavu Kesef, unless my Shavu Kesef was a LeBron James rookie card or something like that, you know, or something, you know, that you had a particular reason that you wanted the Shavu Kesef. But I think, by and large, you know, again, unless it's the American dollar or something, but you know, Shavu Kesef is considered, you know, from that perspective. Now, to the extent that it's really true, is it better as a superior? That's, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. That's going to be second half of this year. So we're going to re-explore that point. But for now, I think it's just a simple, I think it's a simple svara. I just want to make one little ha'ara before we get to the main point I want to focus on, which is that the Rishonim do stress, or seem to mention at least, the question is if they're stressing it or not, this idea of my Kiddushin or Kinyin, Shnehem Rotsim, Shnehem Nisratzis, etc. So if you're interested, I didn't put it on Marmakomos because I don't want to focus on it. There is a discussion that some of the early Achronim have, starting with the Pnei Yoshua, which is that if that's really the issue, the Marsha, if I remember correctly, also discusses this, if that's really the issue for the Ramban Ude'imo, so then what if she didn't want? Are you telling me that a woman has a right to accept only money? The answer would seem to be yes. Okay, what about a more complicated case? Let's say she sends a shliach. She didn't know what it's going to be. She sent a shliach. So there are some achronim, I think the Pnei Yeshua in particular, who think, within the shita of the Ramban, that you need an affirmative, positive decision by the woman to accept Shavu Kesef. Theoretically, her shliach could make such a discernment, but if she didn't tell him, by the way, I'm happy with the 4-carat diamond, or the cash. She just said, can you accept my kedushin for me? And then we're lacking her nisaratsis. We don't know for sure that she would want it. Maybe she would prefer kesef. Maybe then kedushin wouldn't work. And that would be a huge chiddush. There's no mukher for that anywhere in the Gemara. But the Pinchas has, but that doesn't that emerge from the Ramban? So many, many other Achronim say, no, you're reading too much into it. Don't put the dagesh, don't put the focus on the sham nisaratsis. The real dagesh is on the other, which is that when it can be bal karcha, that's not that you need a positive nisratzis. Is that is, as long as you don't have to overcome a bal karcha, which anyways we're going to get to soon. It's one of the sugyas we'll get to hopefully soon. You can't do kiddushin against the will of the woman anyway. So as long as you can't do a bal karcha, so then it should be obvious. So that's just like a side point. I don't want to get sidetracked too much on that. But just if you're interested in exploring that, that's an issue. What I want to really spend the rest of the shiur doing, again, for those of you who had a chance to see the sources inside, it's good. And if you didn't, it's also okay. We don't need to see the Ritva, the Ram, all of them. Each one of them has a slightly different lashon, a little different flavor, a different formulation. But as far as I can tell, unless someone disagrees with me, it's all fundamentally one big shita, which is Rov Rishonim, arguing on what we're calling the Tosfos and also the Rashi shita. Namely, there's a machlokes in Kiddushin, and broadly, but of course our interest is Kiddushin. How do we know that Shava Kesef works? Is there a source? By which we mean to say you need a source, but without that source we wouldn't know it. Tosos and Rashi. Or is it just automatic, memela, logical, intuitive, obvious, Kesef works, why shouldn't Shava Kesef? It's a fascinating machlokes, and it seems that there must be something more. What's driving this machlokas? What's the shorish of this machlokas? I want to use the time we have to share with you three approaches. Two which are somewhat well known in the earlier Svarim, and then one which I just came across for the first time, which is really interesting, and I want to share that with you as well. So let's begin with the first approach. The first approach is based on a little statement or summary of the Avnei Miluim. Now, I gave you on the sheet Avnei Miluim, if I remember correctly, the Siman Chav Tet. We'll get back to that Avnei Miluim. But I'm talking about an Avnei Miluim in the beginning of Siman Chav Zayin. The Avnei Miluim, just to make sure everyone, because Avnei Miluim is the same author as the Ketzos and the Shev Shmaitzeh. He wrote all three. Ketzos HaChoshen is on Choshe Mishpat, and the Avnei Miluim is on Evan Ezer. But it's the same super genius, important Achron. The Baal Ketzos HaChoshen, that's the Avnei Miluim. So in Siman Chav Zayin, he kind of made famous what existed before him, but no one seemed to have noticed it, or at least it wasn't widely noticed, until he put it on the map. And that is that if you look around, you know where to look, he points out that there's a machlokas rishonim. This is no analysis from him. In this case, he did the Sherlock Holmes work for us. He found it. He found the evidence. And that is that there's an interesting machlokas rishonim. Whenever the Torah uses the word kesef, what does that mean? Whether it, literally the word kesef is in the Kriyas HaTorah, or in some drusha we apply kesef from here to there. But when on a d'oraisa level, the Torah allows / demands kesef, what do we mean? And in essence, what he shows, there's a machlokas rishonim, or kind of a basic hakira, whether kesef refers to actual silver, some kind of physical unit or quantity. And then there can be a discussion, and there is among some Rishonim. Whenever we say kesef in the Torah, not only is it silver, but what weight, what's the mishkal of that silver, to be called kesef. But that even that debate is still agreeing that kesef refers to a certain physical unit, silver. Or perhaps, kesef doesn't mean that at all. Maybe kesef just means money. Not silver, but money. Now, we can get into, you know, the Fed and gold standard. It used to be, Molgaven, that the money meant, at least in Israel, America, gold. But we know that certainly isn't true anymore. Money doesn't have to be. Money is something that's totally abstract. It's symbolic. In a given society or in a given place, the two sides are agreeing that this paper or this coin represents, not value that's actually inherent in it, it represents some larger value. Hopefully backed by somebody somewhere, but it represents some value. It's not kesef, it's not silver. Maybe kesef just means money. whatever the currency is irrelevant, but it means money. It's more abstract. It's not something specific. So the Rambam and the Rif seem to say clearly that kesef in the Torah means silver. However, the Ritva, and perhaps others, but it's notably the Ritva, says that no, that's not what kesef means. Kesef means money. If you pay with silver, it's sent to hay. But, you know, theoretically, the dollar, from this perspective, is just as d'oraisa kesef as anything else. Agav, in the relatively modern period, is a discussion in the postgame about what is the halakhic status of a check. Now, a check might even be less than money. But obviously, to the extent that you see kesef is only meaning money, you're already, you're not all the way there, but you're much closer to saying, and a check could be the same thing, as opposed to if you held like the Rif and the Rambam, or whatever a check is, it wouldn't be kesef, because it's not silver. So that seems to be machlokes rishonim. And I want to be very clear about what I'm talking about, because when we get to the second approach, it's similar, but it's different. So we have to be clear about what I'm telling you now. Tamiluim points out a machlokes, but the definition of kesef, just what does it mean? Now, I'm not yet talking about a kinyan or a process. Just what is it? What do the words mean? Kesef. The same word could have two meanings. Totally possible. You know, again, in English, we have two different words. But it's possible that the word in Hebrew is certainly more ambiguous. Yeah?
That's talking about the Torah. So, okay, not necessarily the Gemara and the
Mishnah. Right. On a Doraisa level, again, I'm not limiting it to just where the Balkore or on the Bar-Ilan CD-ROM you can find the word Kesef. On a Doraisa level, when the Torah, Doraisa, requires Kesef, what did it have in mind? That doesn't mean that's all you can use. That's what we're going to get to in a minute. But initially, when the Torah talks about kesef, what is it referring to? So in light of that machlokas, which is kilu, almost a, you know, jastro type machlokas, what does the word mean? So some achronim suggest that that's really the underlying issue of our sugya as well. If you're interested in a Mar Makom, I didn't put it on the sheet, but I do have the sefer at home if anyone's interested. A sefer we'll get back to later in the shiur as well, called the Divrei Yecheskel. That was by Rav Cheskel Bornstein, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Slobodka pre-war, in Slobodka, not the altar, he was the Rosh Hashiva. Speaking of that, the Eben HaEzel, which was Mr. Zalman Meltzer, also on the Rambam and Hechoskiris Paragimel, also seems to make the same point. And that is that perhaps these two machaloksim are connected. That is to say, if we hold the Kesef, and again, Kiddushin, getting back to the discussion we had a lot in the Beis Medrash last week, Kiddushin, we're assuming Kesef is Doraisa, whatever Midirei Soferim in the Rambam means, the Kesef is Midoraisa. So, what did that mean? So, maybe it depends on this Machlokas. If Kesef, like the Rambam in general and the Rif in general hold, means silver, okay, so the Mishnah tells me that I could also use Shava Kesef, but that's not an obvious equation at all. When the Torah says you can be Mekadesh with Kesef, but that's one of the three ways, maybe you could only use Kesef. You're going to tell me I can even use a baseball card, Shava Kesef? I wouldn't have known that on my own. For that, you need a drasha. I have a drasha, but I needed it. And perhaps the Ramban, and here it would work beautifully because it would be the Ritva Lashitaso, because the Ritva here in Kiddushin agrees with his Rebbe, the Ramban, that you don't need a drasha. It's obvious that Kiddushin should work with Shava Kesef. And if I'll borrow the Ramban's Lashon, Shahari Shavim Heim. How could it be Shavim Heim? Kesef in a baseball card or Shavim? Yes. If when the Torah uses Kesef, all it ever means is a representation of some abstract, agreed upon value, that's all Kesef means. It means money. So money is not exactly the same thing as a baseball card. But it's not fundamentally different, frankly. It's really not. They're both representative of some value. They're both abstract. We're not saying that the baseball card, you know. Why, you know, it's like we all know to take a painful, something that's close to all of our hearts, you know, real estate prices. The house is not worth what they're asking. You know, what does that mean? It's, you know, it's true on some level, but it's basically always naive. The house is worth what anyone's willing to pay for it. So that, if that's what kesef means, whatever people agree something is worth, that's called kesef. If that's what, according to the Ritva Midoraisa, that's what kesef means. So then, if that's the case, Mali, actual kesef, which we're agreeing is $100 an ounce or whatever, and Mali the baseball card, or Mali the ring, or Mali any shava kesef. So it could be, suggests these achronim, that this machlokas in our Gemara about whether shava kesef or kesef is an obvious svara, where it needs a drasha, maybe the shorash of that machlokas is this kind of what I'll call definitional issue. What is kesef? Is kesef in general in the Torah just silver? Or does it mean any kind of money?
In the Torah, when the Torah says the word kesef, it refers to any silver. Here it has a value.
So that's the debate. That's the debate.
Saying, if you
okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's how do we even differentiate them as two different categories?
Why should there be any superiority?
I'll reframe your question.
So then why do we need a pasuk by Nezikin and Eved Ivri? It should always be obvious. In essence, that's what you're asking, I think.
I'm even more fundamental. Why would there ever be how would we ever come up with two separate categories?
So I think it gets back to what I answered. I think. It's a good question. I'm not sure if this is a good enough answer, but I think the answer is what I said to Rami before. Was that even so, I think there's still a certain superiority, or at the very least a difference, let alone a superiority, a difference between currency and goods. They're enough connected that they have the same halachic status, but it doesn't mean that they're mamish identical. Because at the end of the day, to some extent, currency at least is more objective. As we all agree that $5 is $5. We don't all agree what my used couch is worth. We could agree, but it's not objective.
Well, so they're cost entailed with moving the couch.
Right? It's not as liquid on any level. So you could, I think, just again, I'm speaking almost financially / balabatishly.
But I'm asking in terms of the Torah's use of the word kesef.
That's what the Rabban agrees. He says that. He says you don't need a drasha. It's obvious. Of course, whenever the Torah says kesef, like by Kedushin, it's obvious how kesef works. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why I reframed your question. It's such a good answer that you could turn it on its head and say, no, so then why do we ever need a drasha? Aren't they really just the same thing?
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's the same. Why would you even separate them as categories? That's what I'm saying. I don't understand.
They're still different things.
It's sad to say that. No, if the Torah, when it uses the lashon,
I'm saying, because kesef means money. Goods of the exact same value as the dollar or the shekel are still goods, not money. Just like in English or any other language, money and paying for something and bartering are two different processes, right? So, the Torah is not talking about goods. According to this approach, the Torah is talking about money. The Ramban is saying, but once you understand that that's all it is, so then it's obvious that Shav and Kesef should work too. But he's not saying in the dictionary it means the same thing. In the dictionary, there are different things. One's money and one is the goods. One is a couch, one is a diamond ring, one is anything.
But is that, so when the Torah uses the lashon of kesef, it means what?
Money.
It doesn't mean shav kesef.
It means money. It's just that the point is that money, when you dig deeper, it's fundamentally the same as goods. Because it all is just about the value that it represents. But it means money, it doesn't mean silver. Okay, think about it. Okay, let's move on to a second approach, which is similar, though not identical. Yeah.
So why did the Ramban need to bring to us the answer then?
In general, yes. And why does? Because
he accepts it, doesn't reject that, right? He accepts it.
Not really. He says that the last one is his main one. And certainly the Ritva. If you take a look at the Ritva, has Das Adonenu HaRamban. This one, V'zeh Nachon. The assumption is that even though he kind of paid respect to Tosfos by quoting it, but that's not. He doesn't accept that. Doesn't accept that. Okay? I mean, you could just reframe it. If we never seen Tosfos, then we could say, well, why does the Ramban need two answers? What is the difference between the two answers? I'm going further in identifying the Ramban with his second answer, even though he did in other Rishonim following, quote Tosfos also.
It's possible one of the Rishonim alluded to this, because I think it was Meiri gave a teretz that anytime it says in the Torah, Kesef Dafka, that it refers to that you need a special pasuk to be marvish of kesef.
Yes, I don't remember that. You just double check. You'll show me. In general, the Meiri in particular is tricky. I think I mentioned this last year, because not only does the Meiri quote a lot of other opinions, because he was one of the later Rishonim, but he never quotes anyone by name. He quotes everyone by nickname. So you just have to be careful when you plug. It happens all the time that people think they find a steer in the Meiri, and it's not a steer. He's quoting different opinions. So you just have to be double sure. Okay, if you find that, I'll look at it with you. Okay, I don't remember that. Okay, the second approach is the one which is, you know, if you were to look at all the Sfarim written on Masechta Kedushin, is the one you'll find the most popular. And it's similar but not identical to the first one. And this is based on a machlokas, a very important machlokas achronim. I put it on Yomar Makoma sheet, so hopefully many of you had a chance to see it. And that is a machlokas achronim, not, and here's the key, the difference between answer one and two, not what does kesef mean on a definitional level, but how does kinyan kesef work? We know that there are also different kinds of kinyanim in the Torah and in different areas of life, different kinyanim work. But one of the ways you can, for example, particularly by real estate, by karka, according to the Torah, kesef shtar and chazaka. But kesef is one of the ways that you can make a din by karka, according to the Torah. So when you give that money, whether you're giving one lump sum, or you're just making a first payment, let's say, when you give that money to make the kinyan kesef, I'm not talking about paying the way we think of it in our world, but in the halachic world, when we give kinyan kesef, meaning no one can back out, we're both locked in, we get a kinyan, and not with the handkerchief or the rabbi's yarmulke or gartel. Which kinyan we do? We did a kinyan called kesef. If I'm doing the kinyan called shtar, the fact that I paid doesn't matter. But if we're doing kinyan kesef, so how exactly does that work? So nothing with kiddushin yet. We're going to get to kiddushin eventually. So this in Choshen Mishpat, in the Zikin, this is a major machlokas. It's known as the machlokas between the Sma and the Taz, in their Perushim on Choshen Mishpat. Right, I saw some of you were confused when you opened up the Shulchan Aruch, because we're familiar mostly with Or HaChaim, where the Taz is one of the two main guys, so he gets a premium spot. In Choshen Mishpat, he got dumped down, because you have the Shach and the Sma, so you have the Taz, an even smaller, harder to read print, in the margin, on the left-hand, the outer side of the page of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Sma and the Taz have the following argument. Comes along the Sma, and he says, Pashut, you know how Kinyan Kesef works? It's Piraum. It's part of your payment. You know, even though it's true, we always stress when we're teaching and we're trying to understand something, especially for someone who never heard of what Kinyan means, we always try to say that Kinyan is not necessarily something that's paying for something. And that's true, because you can do other kind of Kinyan. But if you're doing the Kinyan called Kesef, says the Sma, what are you doing? What is the Kinyan? The Kinyan is that you paid. Either you paid the whole thing, or you made a down payment. But that, even if it's only the down payment, I buy the Empire State Building. So we may have a hundreds of millions of dollar, billion dollar contract and payment schedule and debt schedule, but the Kinyan we made says, I gave you a silver dollar. I had a dollar the Rebbe gave me years ago. Here, silver dollar. Or I gave you an ounce of gold, even better nowadays. So what is that? Is that symbolic? Says the Sma, no, it's not symbolic. That's Tchilas Piraum. That's your first payment. That's your down payment. The fact that you're making a down payment, that's your Kavona, and that he accepts that down payment, that itself is the Kinyan. That is the Kinyan. That's the Sma. That's all he says. To say that he has proofs here and there, but that's not. We don't have time to get into that now. Comes along on the side of the page, the Taz. The Taz says, impossible. Logically, Misvara, it can't be correct. And here's where it becomes a relevant topic for us, because the Sma says, if you only know Seder Nezikin and Choshen Mishpat, maybe you could make such a mistake. But once you open up Masechta Kedushin and Eben Ezer, you realize that it's a total folly. Why? Because says the Taz, the fact is we know that Kesef doesn't just work for Karka. Kesef works for Ishus. Kesef works for Kiddushin. And it's obvious, says the Taz, it's obvious that when it comes to Ishus, when it comes to Kiddushin, it's not working as a quote-unquote down payment or Tchilas Piraon. After all, I'm not buying anything when I get married. I'm not buying my wife. And since the Gemara equated Kesef Kinyan with Kesef in Kiddushin, if it can't be Tchilas Piraon for Kiddushin, like a boomerang, it must also be not that for Choshen Mishpat, for Kinyan. The Sma can't be right. Well, the Lashon, it's a very important Lashon. Dezeh Poshut, says the Taz. Debeisha, Kona Osa Derech Nesinu Lechud, Lo Betorah Shovi, Mashehi Shoveh. No one is Chas V'Shoah putting a value on the woman and saying, this is the whole payment, this is the down payment. That's not what's happening when you get married with Kesef. So then, and that in essence, he's referring to the Sma. That's absurd, because that may work in Chashem Mishpah, but it doesn't work in Kiddushin. And the Gemara tethers them. So what must be the Pshat? However it's working in Kiddushin, well, boomerang, that'll tell us what's going on in Chashem Mishpat. And how is it working in Kiddushin? So I'll read you the Lashon again. The Be'isha Kona Osa, what he calls, three words, Derech Nesina Lachud. That's his contrast. It's not Tchilas Piron, it's not a payment or a down payment. It's Derech Nesina. Now what I think clearly he's getting at is that it's not that you're paying for anything, because you're really not buying anything, but rather, this is what you would call a ceremonial or symbolic move. I'll give you as an analogy. The kesef you use for pidyon haben. Notwithstanding the weird lashon that the Gaonim instituted with my bais tfei, which can't be taken literally because no one has the option of not taking their child. But leave that at a lashon for sure aside. Obviously, you're not buying your child back from the Kohen.
You put your child with the money, though.
So, what does that mean?
Value.
What does that mean? So, no, I don't think that's right. It's a why that value is one of the philosophy of mitzvahs class. Why chamesh slaim? I'm not getting. But what are you doing with kesef when you give the Kohen the kesef and he's Kohen of the kesef? It's totally symbolic.
The fact that you need more than a prutah
No. Not at all. Why? Because your son is worth five slime?
In some abstract way, it must be.
I don't think so. I think on the contrary. I think what's clearly going on in Pidyon Haben, I don't want to get distracted by this disagreement we're having. I thought it would be obvious, but if it's not, then that's fine. But what I think is clear in Pidyon Haben is it's ceremonial or symbolic. And L'chora, that's clearly what the Taz is saying anyway, when it comes to Kiddushin, and then he extends that, which is even more fascinating, back to the Empire State Building. When you give that money, it may be the down payment. But this is where we have to remind ourselves, since we were young, not to get confused, that payment and kinyan are two different things. It may be that when you gave the kesef, it was your down payment. But if that's all it was, that wouldn't be the kinyan. That's not how kinyan works. Kinyan kesef is symbolic. It's representing my das. It's representing our agreement to make the sale. And ceremonially, I crystallize that. I concretize that. I express that by giving you the kesef and you accepting it. But that's not tchilas piron. And even if it is, that's still not what the kinyan is. Harayas is the taz, that's what happens in kesef. That's what happens in kiddushin.
Just like the handkerchief. Meaning it's kesef is just like a handkerchief, like a hand on the animal.
In a certain sense, right? It's in a certain sense. In a certain, that's a very good ha'ara, Adam. In this sense, we're going to try to get to, perhaps it might even be our next sugya next week, I'm not sure. But chalipin, which is what we do, you're all familiar with chalipin from Mechir Slametz. But chalipin in general is, you know, we take something and it's not really worth anything necessarily. I mean, it has to be worth something. But you lift it up and it's clearly symbolic and ceremonial. So this understanding of kesef, it's not necessarily 100% identical, but it makes kesef very similar to chalipin. That's a great ha'ara.
It's a wrong way
chalipin. That's also, it's a different direction also, right? So it's a good ha'ara. It's a good ha'ara. Very good. Now it's important to know, and this was on the sheet if you saw it, it's key not to share everything you learn with your wife, not when you learn it or tonight, but the Avnei Miluim, there's this infamous legendary Avnei Miluim that I put on the sheet. Not the one we saw 10 minutes ago, but this is the other one, in Simon Chavtet, Simchat and Bet. He quotes this Machlokes, and he goes, I don't understand the Taz. The Taz thinks he discovered America. He thinks he came up with this great Einfalt. Well, Kesef can't mean Tchilas Piron, and can't be Shovi, because after all, it's not in Kiddushin, so therefore it can't be in Chosh Mishpat either. He says, Avnei, what are you talking about? Of course that's how it works in Kiddushin. It's beautiful, it's glatt. Just like it works in Kesef Kinyan by buying the house. Of course that's how it works in Kiddushin. Just to read the one infamous line. It says, Alinas Daiti Eni Hasaga. What's the Taz talking about? Devarai gam be'isha shayach shovi. V'hakol b'toras piron. U'b'toras shovi. V'lo l'shum kinyan. Now he doesn't mean it's not a kinyan. Of course it's a kinyan. But what he's saying is it's not symbolic. It's actual. This is what she has agreed to be bought for. He's paying it just like the guy who sells the house is agreeing to sell the house for whatever you gave as that down payment. Now again, kesef could be a down payment or it could be the whole payment. That's irrelevant. Its point is it's the piraon. Whether we put in brackets tchilas piraon or not, is the piraon. It says Avnei Miluim, no problem. Now this is a das yachid. A lot of people pile on this Avnei Miluim well before the feminists came around.
You know, it's the kinyan kiddushin to be literal.
Yeah, it's he says it. It's shovi. It's tchilas piron. Now, just to defend
that, does that mean that if she wanted to say no, listen, I'm worth more?
Yes. Well, that's a gemara. We're going to see the gemara speaks about a certain came from Tana or Namora, but he had the daughters and the hadichus, and they only accepted a lot more.
No, but I thought that's kinyan. I thought that's by super.
I don't think so, but...
He says that, Vivi Kaj Bamana, Vanasama Dina Arukruta, Nami Tsarashi, Dina Arukruta, Vitoras, Tsukilas
Barona. Well, that gets to the point also, which is what I was saying. It's just that, anyway, it could be the down payment. It could be, you know, she could agree to get Ms. Kadeshus at any value. And she could say, I want it all up front. She could say, I want it on the anniversary.
It's
all, again, I want to make clear, it's a Kenyan according to everybody. The question is, how is the Kenyan working? Is the Kenyan working as a symbolic ceremonial statement as I'm buying something, this is not necessarily my payment for it, but it symbolizes my commitment to buy it. That's the Taz says in general and in Kiddushin. Or the Sma, with the Avni Milun defending him, says no, it works as a Tchilas Piron. It's a down payment / payment.
But you're saying it's according to everyone, it's a Kinyan?
Yes, there's something called we're discussing Kinyan Kesef.
I understand, but it's not.
How does the Kinyan work, we're asking?
You're not actually purchasing your wife.
Well, that seems to be what Avni Milun is saying.
So then according to Avni Milun, wouldn't it be necessary then for it to be at the value of a woman?
So that's part of why everyone is so scandalized. I think the easy, you know, the defense of Avni Milun to some extent is modern economics, which I alluded to before, which is, you know, in capitalism, you know, things are worth what people are willing to sell them for.
What about
Avni Milun wasn't saying she's only worth a bruta. He's saying that she's willing...
Why would
even to take that? That's what I'm willing to sell my right to be right.
Why would the Mishnah say
I didn't get the Shabbat Prutia. We didn't get the Shabbat. We didn't get the Shabbat Prutia.
Whatever.
Why is it Prutia not a different amount?
It shouldn't be that. It should be pointed out in the loan. It's a full purchase. It should be whatever.
No. Even if you're buying $1 million building or a house,
maybe that's a down payment. So according to the Mishnah, you really have to continue paying her.
Or again. No, or she gave also. She doesn't have to. She's willing to settle on just on the pruta. I'd say it's controversial, but that's what he says.
Why? If you really read into it, what's so controversial about the fact that we're not saying nobody's saying that she shoved whatever you
right? I think that's what I'm
saying. Just like in a business transaction, they're not shoved that. So here you have, and probably maybe even more variety without we could test up over.
Why? Because he's saying that.
No, I'll tell you why. The difference is exactly the point between Daniel and David are saying is that because it's not unlike, let's say, the house where you have some payment schedule that you'd be paying more. I mean, no wife marriage jokes here about how we're always paying. But what is your Alf's Kiddushin, Betorah's Kiddushin, you don't have to pay anymore. It's all it is the pruta. So it's not down payment, it's it. It's pruta.
And then, like you just said, it's both of it. You don't
Again, the Taz thinks it's crazy.
The Taz
says it can't be. The Taz says it can't be, but the Avni Milun, you know, two people look at the same thing. One person says it's crazy, one person says it's mustaber, yeah.
Other than, like, the feminism, is there, like, a real left between the two when it comes to the issue?
So, part of the issue, I alluded to this, I think, the first Mar Makoma sheet I gave the guys. I didn't give Shir on it, but just to help your own learning, I gave you Mar Makomas. So I showed you, and I can give anyone who's more interested more Mar Makomas. There's a major machlok of the Shurim in general. I'm actually going to quote a Ramban from Gittin in a minute. About this, there's a major machlokes lashon in general when we use the lashon of kinyan by kiddushin, whether it's shtar or bia, but kiddushin is called the kinyan. So, what does that mean? Is that refer to some form of ownership, even whether it's abstract, physical, or not? And the emes is that it's a machlokes lashonim. Some rishonim say, no, of course not. You don't own anything in your wife. And it's Kenyan means different things in different contexts. And other Rishonim say, no, you own certain rights, you own the fact that she can't be with another man. There's certain things, you know, no one holds the owner Chas Hashem like chattel, that's obvious. Despite, you know, the malicious criticism of Halacha from this mission. This mission is a, you know, pinata for certain circles. But that, obviously, no one holds. Even the Avni Milun, that's obvious. No one holds you can sell, so if you didn't buy it, so you could sell it. But that you own something, whether it's physical or abstract, some Rishonim seem to say yes. And other Rishonim say, no, that's not ever what it meant. Okay? So, let's get back now to our topic. How does this relate to Shava Kesef? So, a number of Achronim suggest that maybe this is the Shorash HaMachlokes of the Machlokes that we saw here. Again, we have a Machlokes, not whether Kesef works or whether Shava Kesef works. That's facts and evidence. It's a Mishnah. period. But we have a machlokes, if it's obvious or not the Shavu Kesef should work. Did you need a limud, or was it just obvious that Shavu Kesef should work? So perhaps, l'cha'ora, this is Haba Hatalia. That is to say, if you hold that Kesef Kinyan in general, even in Choshev Mishpat, always works as a tchilas piraon, as a down payment. So then, perhaps, you could argue, mali kesef, mali the equivalent of kesef. This is towards the value. If I owe you $1,000 and I gave you a $100 baseball card, I only owe you $900 now. What's the difference if I gave you $100 and I gave you a $100 baseball card? Assuming you accepted it. We're not talking about balkarcha or anything like that. You accepted it. I'm giving it to you in lieu of $100 and you accepted it. So if all we're talking about is payment, it should be obvious that the Shavu Kesef works as well. So perhaps the Ramban and other Rishonim, just to fill in the names to make it clear, perhaps they're working with the Taz. Excuse me, they're working with the Sma. Excuse me, that was an important mistake. They're working with the Sma, that it's always Kesef Kinyan. And if it's Tchilas Piraon, I'm sorry. That's Tchilas Piraon. And just like it's Tchilas Piraon, so what's the difference if I pay with money? Or I pay in a bartered good. Again, you didn't have to accept it, but if you accept it, what's the difference? I paid for it. But if you hold that the way Kesef works is the way the Taz says, which he holds, Bein the real estate, Bein the Kiddushin, is this ceremonial Maisa Kinyan, just the fact that it symbolizes something, it's ceremonial, symbolizes this legal acquisition. So then, I wouldn't call it Harsha Mukhrach. But I think here you could certainly argue, getting back to something that you both asked before, that when it comes to something ceremonial or symbolic, there's clearly a superiority to Kesef over Shavu Kesef. Just to give a Baal Batisha point on this, so to speak, you know, no one, even though it's mutter, there's a reason that no one brings, you know, 5 baseball cards to the Pidyon HaBen. Getting back to my point before, right? That's clearly a symbolic, ceremonial thing, and it's intuitive. I think, even though it's not 100% mukhrach, but I think it's intuitive that if you're dealing in symbolic and ceremonial realm, Kesef is clearly superior. Now, you might have thought it's so superior you can't do Shavu Kesef. Oh, so for that you need a drasha, binyanav, and a drasha.
Symbolic, it's still
good. Again, it is a kinyan. The Mishnah calls it a kinyan. The question is, how is the kinyan working? So if you hold it, the kinyan works anyway in a symbolic, ceremonial kind of way. So that might be what Tosfos and Rashi hold. That if that's the case, then l'chaora, logically, there's a clear superiority to Kesef. And if I wouldn't have had a limud, how would I have known on my own to extend that to Shavu Kesef? Clearly, in the ceremonial, symbolic sense, Kesef has a certain superiority. It's more formal, it's more objective. I think that's mukhrach. And I want to say, I stressed before that this is a second answer. It's different than the first thing we mentioned. But I want to point out to you that there are some who claim that really it's two sides of one coin. I saw this explicitly in Rav Gustman. Rav Gustman's Shurim on Masechta Kedushin, called Kudshei Shurim on Masechta Kedushin. So in Simon Bey's, he makes this point. And I think if you go back to, I mentioned before, the Divrei Yecheskel, the Slobodka Rosh Hashiva, so he, this Divrei Yecheskel is very, very famous. He, I think if you look carefully, I mentioned him before, that he suggested it goes back to the definition, the dictionary definition of what Kesef meant. But he also mentions the Taz and the Sma. So what I think he's really getting at, which is Rav Gustman on his own says explicitly, is that maybe answer one and answer two are really all one big answer. Namely, again, here I would say it's clearly not Haba Atalia, this is not Mukhrach, but again, if you had to slot them in, you could definitely make a persuasive argument that the following is true. That the more I believe that in the Torah the definition of Kesef is silver, so then when I get to step two, which is how does Kinyan Kesef works, it jives with that to say, well, if Kesef in the Torah means silver, perhaps it means Kinyan Kesef is ceremonial. And if I say that Kesef in the Torah always just means money, so then perhaps I might suggest that Kinyan Kesef works. What do you do with money? You pay for things. So I don't think, you could definitely quibble with that. If you were forced to be mechalik, I think one could. But Gussman explicitly, and I think the Devar Yecheskel by implication, seem to say, no, maybe it's all one big Haba Hatalia. And as we would now, if we were making like a chart, we could actually have 3 things all flowing one from another. The first thing is the definition. Is Kesef silver or is it money? Second thing is, how does Kinyan Kesef work? And the third thing is, how do we know Shava Kesef? Perhaps it's all one big, if you will, flowchart. Now you could differentiate, which is why I presented it initially as two separate answers. You don't have to collapse them into one. But you should know that there are definitely similar, and some Achronim explicitly make these all connected, that it's all one big chart, one big flowchart. If Kesef is silver, then Kinyan Kesef is ceremonial, and then you need a drusha to tell me that we can even extend it to Shava Kesef. But if Kesef in the Torah anyway means payment, then Kinyan Kesef means down payment, and Shava Kesef is just obvious. Okay? Now I want to show you two problems with this. We have 10 minutes according to my clock here. Two problems with this, and then share with you a third possible final answer. There are two problems with this. The first problem is that if this is correct, then it comes out that the Ramban is on which side of the ledger, since he holds Shav Kesef is obviously Kesef. He's on the Piron. If Kesef anyway just means Piron, so we said it's obvious. What's the difference if I'm paying with money or I'm paying with goods? The problem with that is that the Ramban in Gittin on Daf Tesamar Aleph, the Ramban there says explicitly that Kiddushin is not a you're not buying anything. He's actually working backwards. He's actually talking about the get. You know, and it's actually interesting Loshen, because in our Mishnah talk about being kon es atzma. So the Ramban there in Gittin and Daf Tes says she's not really buying anything back, because you, the husband, didn't own anything. Getting back to the question we mentioned before, again, other Rishonim, like a Rashi, disagree with that. Rashba, for example, disagrees with that. But the Ramban, who were not only, but primarily explaining, it would be a little bit of a stira, not 100%, but a little bit of a stira, if this is the correct explanation of the Ramban, it doesn't seem to really work with the Ramban and Gittin. That's one kind of it's a big, I think, a serious, but technical problem. The other problem, which kind of really always rubbed at me, if you will, is that it then comes out, according to what we're saying now, and this really goes back to what would help Daniel, but that's not good for the Taz or me, but it would help Daniel. It then comes out that Rov Rishonim hold that Kiddushin works like the Taz and the Avni Miluim. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I keep on doing that. Like the Sma and the Avni Miluim. The Taz said, how could it be? There's no Piron by an Isha. And the Avni Miluim defended it, yes, of course there is. But we're now explaining that the Ramban and Beis Midrasho are holding like the Sma. And since it's anyway Tichilas Piron, it's obvious Shavu Kesef works. So that always just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because again, I was so biased by the Taz, who felt obviously it can't be Piron. So it would come out that what my gut instinct only works with Tosas Nevi Raji, not just mine. I'm saying that's, other than that, Avni Miluim, who defends the Sma, it seems to be very, that Taz is very persuasive. Yet, according to this Lomdus, most Rishonim, in essence, are following the Piron approach to Kiddushin. But beyond the gut instinct, if you will, and maybe then I could be guilty of, you know, modern influences, v'chule, but I could do better than that. And I could point out that two of major Achronim of the last generation made this point explicitly, by which I mean to say, there's a sefer called the Afike Yam. Afike Yam, also one of the great pre-war European Rosh Hashivas. So he there quotes Rabbi Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, the famous Rabbi Chaim Ozer of Vilna, the Baal Tshuvas Achiezer. But this is not in the Tshuvas, this is only in the Afike Yam, in the name of Rabbi Chaim Ozer. And in his own name, the Evin Ezel, I mentioned before, Mr. Salman Meltzer, in Hilchos Mechira, Perak Aleph, Halacha Dalid, both make the following point, which is that until now, we've been assuming that the Taz and the Sma, that machlokas and Choshen Mishpat, is relevant to our machlokas and Kiddushin, and it'll be Haba Hatalia, we'll move around the chess pieces. They both made the point, Reb Chaim Ozer on his own, and Evin Ezel bedas the Rambam, but they basically get to the same point, which is that they basically say that even if there's a machlokas in Kinyan, in Choshen Mishpat, in commercial law, Lekule Alma, everyone, including, for example, the Sma, everyone will agree that obviously in Ishus, that's not what's going on. That obviously in Kiddushin, it's only ceremonial, it's only Maisa Kinyan. So, in essence, what those Achronim are saying is diametrically opposed, even more so than the Taz, is diametrically opposed to the Avni Miluim. Whereas the Avni Miluim thinks that not only does the Sma apply to Kiddushin, he thinks it's obvious, They hold that it's so obvious that the svara is the opposite, that even the sma bechvodo va'atzmo only said what he said in Choshen Mishpat. But the sma would agree that in Kiddushin it doesn't work. Who said that just because there's Kesef Kinyan in Choshen Mishpat and Kesef Kinyan in Eben Ezra, who said they work the same way? So the Taz holds that they always work ceremonially. But even the sma, says the Reb Chaim Ozer, would be moda, that it could be a down payment on the World Trade Center. He would down payment on your house. That's not a down payment on your wife. It's not piron on your wife. Even they would agree. Which is another way of saying, with more halachic meat on the bone, what my gut instinct was it would be very hard, aside from the steer in the Ramban, very hard to say that all these Rishonim are holding a svara, which these other Chachamim are saying is obviously that even the sma wouldn't agree with. So what are we left with? So for many years I was just off of the question. In an earlier tufa in life, when I was giving shiur in Kedushin, I didn't have an answer for it. I just left it like this. So I'll just end, with a few minutes left, I'll just end with a third approach that this year I saw for the first time. In the write-up, I haven't had a chance to talk to him to flesh it out, but I saw it in a write-up of a shiur given by Rav Moshe Lichtenstein. That's Rav Aaron's son, who himself is now one of the younger Rosh Hashivas of the Gush. But Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's son, Rav Moshe. So he has a particularly, I guess, it's good that we're in this. He has a Ramat Shiloh connection because I think Rav Jake Vinolansky considers him his Rebbe Mufok, or one of his Rebbeim. But be that as it may, Rav Moshe Lichtenstein suggested, he doesn't quote a lot of the Maror Makomos that we're quoting, but he is bothered, for example, he's bothered by the steer in the Ramban. So how do we resolve this? So he suggests a third approach to the Machlokas. Let's get back to something we particularly discussed, I think, in Seder among a few of the guys in the back of the Beis Medrash, which is how does Kiddushin work? Kiddushin seems to be very multifaceted. And there seems to be at least two, if not three, aspects to Kiddushin. The Mishnah calls it a Kinyan, so we know that's on the books one way or the other. But it's clearly not just a Kinyan. We're talking about marriage. It's a very personal, what I'll call Ishus. It's something personal, intimate. And then you have what the Gemara refers to later, the Beis of Gimel, right? What's Kiddushin? Asra Kula Alma Kehektish. When you just get, we all know, if you just did Kiddushin and stopped, what's the Nafkamina? That the woman becomes an HCC. She's Asra on everybody else. So there's Isser also. So Isser, let's leave that aside as an independent thing. Maybe that's connected to one of the other two. But certainly on the two poles, there seems to be the Ishus aspect, more interpersonal aspect, and the fact that, despite that fact, the Mishnah does call it a Kinyan. So when we were talking in the Beis Medrash, specifically among the guys who were looking up in the Rishonim about whether Kesef Kiddushin is Daraisa, it's Debrei Sofrim, what does that mean? So I mentioned to you these different approaches, and I mentioned to you at the time, that something I once heard from my Rebbe, Rabbi Rosenzweig, and I think others speak about this as well, is that they're probably both at least two aspects of Kiddushin, and that the different Darche Kiddushin accent and highlight more one pole or the other. So the paradigm, we said, is Bia. Kiddushin is uniquely Ishus. That's what makes it unique, is the Ishus aspect of it. Which of the three Darche Kiddushin is the most natural to symbolize the Ishus? Of course, Kiddushei Bia. And that may be why I pointed out to you guys, and we mentioned this, I think, at the end of last year also, that the Rambam, even though it's clear that all of them are a mitzvah, and he says all of them are Daraisa, but the Rambam talks about mitzvah livol b'kiddushin, and he gives a hierarchy to Kiddushei Bia, because that's what really is expressing what's unique about the relationship. So it may not be the only thing that's Daraisa, but it's the thing which most accents that aspect. On the other extreme, the thing which most highlights or accents the Kinyan aspect of Ishus is clearly Kesef. Because naturally, the first thing we think of when we think of Kesef is we think of Kinyan. Shtar is somewhere in the middle, clearly. And if you look in the Rambam, that's why it's not the order of the Mishnah, but the Rambam who reorders the Mishnah seems to have Shtar in the middle. And I think that that's because Shtar really represents that third aspect, the Isser aspect. Shtar works with Avodim and different things. And that may be, it's not as foreign as Kesef is, but it's also not as naturally intimate as Bia is. It's kind of somewhere in the middle. But usually, typically we would say that the poles are Kesef and Bia. Now again, when you get married by Kesef, you get the intimacy too. And if you get married by Bia, you get the Kinyan also. We're not saying it's one or the other. But different ones highlight and accent one more than the other. So Lichtenstein just suggested that perhaps, and by the way, he added, by the way, that that might even be the Lashon the Gemara discussed in Daf Beis Amud Beis, but what Lashon is it, right? The Torah's Lashon is Kicha, but the Rabbanan's Lashon is Kiddushin. And what does Rashi say in Daf Beis, what does Kiddushin mean? Yi'ud, right? It's the, or Yichud. It's unique. It's designated. So, could be that, you know, so Bia expresses that more uniqueness. Kesef represents the Kicha, the Kinya. So that's, at first blush, I think for sure correct. He suggested perhaps the Machlokas we're showing him here is because really even within Kesef we could see it in two different ways. The simple understanding of Kesef, as I mentioned, is that it highlights the Kinyan aspect. And what did we just get through saying? How does Kesef work in Kinyan? If we discount Avnei Luim for a moment. So not only do we have the Taz, but we have these other Achronim who say even the Sma would agree. But of course, the Kinyan aspect of Kiddushin is this ceremonial, symbolic Maisa Kinyan. So when if we're focusing on the Kinyan of Ishus, obviously that is being accomplished in a ceremonial, symbolic way. And as we've said already a few times in this year, when you're dealing with ceremony and symbolism, actual Kesef seems to be superior than Shavu Kesef. So maybe that's why Tosus and Rashi hold that you needed a drusha for Shavu Kesef. Because they understand that when you're Mekadosh with Kesef, you're focusing on, as we said before, the Kinyan aspect of your Ishus. In the Kinyan aspect, it works ceremonially, symbolically. And for that, it's not obvious that Shavu Kesef should work. So we have the drasha. That works beautifully. What's the Chiddush Shabbo? The Chiddush is the second side. So what about the other Rishonim? So perhaps he said they see that even in Kinyan Kesef, even though it's not as natural or as obvious as Bia, but maybe even Kinyan Kesef works in a certain intimate way. Now, it's not as intimate as Bia. But what does that mean? Kesef does not just have to be buying something. He suggested that perhaps, and this gets back to your Chalipin analogy a little bit, he says Kesef could be something that represents a certain, what he called, almost like a meeting of the minds. Whereas the focus might be interpersonal issues, but by him giving something, and that represents, you know, I don't just mean in a romantic sense, even in a halachic sense, the man's responsibility to care for his wife, to take care of her, to give her things. So by him giving her something, not stam, he's giving her something as betoras your husband. This is, you know, in this case, the first of many, hopefully. Things I can give you and help you, protect you, and take care of you, sustain you, i.e. the ksuba, etc., the husband's responsibilities. So I just mean it's not romantic. It's not just romantic, it's also halachic. So he's giving it in that spirit. And she accepts it in that spirit. So that, it may, on the surface, look like the same kesef you gave when you bought your house. But it's very different. That is an intimate ishus type of action. I'm giving it to express my intimate commitment to you. It's not by definition intimate act the way Bia is. But it doesn't have to be a total commercial, and then we can struggle like a pretzel, how could you apply commercial things to Kiddusha? No, no, no. It's being given in this way of not so much symbolizing a Kinyan as much as it is expressing my intimate commitment to you, and by her accepting it, her willingness to consecrate that intimate relationship. So it could be that they're arguing, and this would be a chiddush, but it's, to me, it's a very possible. I guess not muchach what he's saying, but I think it's a very nice shot, perhaps, that maybe these other rishonim say, if that's the case, if the whole purpose of kinyan kesef in kiddushin is to express this meeting of the minds, so then it doesn't really matter what you give, but why you were giving it. So mali kesef, mali shava kesef. I'm giving it to express my commitment to you. You accept it because you're willing to. You want my commitment, and you want it. You're committed to me. So who cares what it is? So who needs a drasha for Shavu Kesef? It's obvious. Whereas the other Rishonim, like Tosfos, held the way we kind of assumed from the beginning. Now, if you're using Kesef, that's not focusing on interpersonal, intimate things. That's only focusing on more official, ceremonial, commercial-type things, however that relates to Kiddushin. But if you hold it, it may not be as intimate as Bia, but still, it's given as an interpersonal, intimate expression of commitment that he's making to her. And if she accepts it in that spirit, then that should be the Kiddushin. Okay. Shkaya. Stay tuned for further Bar Makomos.